The Springboks are on the verge of history. It's been 11 years since the Boks last completed an end-of-year tour unbeaten. Standing in their way, Wales in Cardiff. Now, unfortunately, that is not the daunting prospect that it once was. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat to the ultimate preview of Wales versus South Africa at the Millennium Stadium. I will take a look at the two teams that have been selected for Saturday's match. We'll analyse the strengths and weaknesses, look at the team's history against one another, and of course, I'll finish off with a prediction at the end. But let's begin by taking a look at the world champions. Starting in the front row, Thomas du Toit is at loose head. That's after Rassie Erasmus decided to rest Oxenchair, who picked up an injury last week against England. You might remember earlier in the week, Nchair was actually named in the starting team, but Rassie has decided to make that change, with du Toit moving to loose head. Wilco Lowe coming in at tight head. Johan Grobbelaar is our hooker. John Klein, nice to see him back in the setup. Franco Mostert will partner him in the second row. Siya Kolisi is our captain. Alrich Lowe and Jasper Visser complete the back row. Now we go to the back line. Jaden Hendrickson and Jordan Hendrickson. What a proud moment for the Hendrickson family, with the two sons taking their place, or the two brothers, whichever way you want to look at it. Gertli Arendse and Cheslin Kolbe are on the wings, with Damian Dialende and Jesse Creel in the centres. Apelele Fassi is our fullback. And now the bomb squad. Malcolm Marks, Gerard Steenekamp and Vincent Koch. That's pretty intimidating if you're the Welsh. Eben Etzebet and Argeus Snyman, they are the two locks on the bench. And then Cameron Hanekom, he's going to come on for his Springbok debut. He's going to become the 52nd Springbok to play this year. John Klein the 51st. And then we've got Cobus Reinach and Andre Pollard completing what is a 6-2 split for the Springboks. All right, that's a look at the men in green and gold. Let's see what Wales have decided to do for this test match. Gareth Thomas, Dewey Lake and Archie Griffin make up the front row. Lake is their captain. Will Rowlands and Chris Chiunza in the second row. Rowlands, for me, he's one of their very best players. James Botham, Jack Morgan and Tane Plumtree are the loose forwards. Morgan, for me, he's their best player. I really think he is. If they have another best player, that would be Rowlands. And then Tane Plumtree, if you're a Sharks fan, you may recognize that name. If you know John Plumtree, and of course you do if you're a Sharks supporter, well, Tane is John's son. Looking at the backs now, Ellis Bevan and Sam Costello make up the halfbacks. Rio Dyer and Tom Rogers are on the wings. Ben Thomas and Max Llewellyn are in the centres, with Blair Murray taking his place at fullback. And then let's have a look at their replacements. Ryan Elias, Nicky Smith, Kieran Asirati, Freddie Thomas, Tommy Reffel, Rodri Williams, Eddie James and Josh Hathaway. So Wales going with a 5-3 split on their bench. And just before I compare South Africa and Wales man for man and department for department, I want to tell you guys quickly about my brand new book. It's called How to Become a Sports Journalist. Now, I wrote this book with high school kids and students in mind, those who aspire to become sports journalists in the future. Guys, I've been in this racket for 20 years now, and there's so many things that I wish people had told me back in the day, and I've put all of that, all of my experiences, lots of tips and advice into this book. It's a one-stop shop for anybody who wishes to one day become a sports journalist. It's available now on Amazon. It would make a great Christmas present if you are not yourself a student or a high school kid. And by the way, if you are a mid-career sports journalist and you're feeling like you're stuck in a bit of a rut, I'm pretty confident that this book will be able to help you as well. All right, let's have a look now at the Springboks and the Welsh forwards. We're going to compare them man for man. So if we look at what the Springboks have got going in Cardiff, it's going to be Thomas du Toit, Johan Grobbelaar and Wilco Lowe. Now, all three of these men are Springboks. Grobbelaar, obviously the least experienced of the three. Powerful scrummages, I've got no doubt about that. I'm happy with that front row. I'm not surprised that Rassie has decided to go with an untested combination. That was always my gut feel for what, with all due respect, is the easiest of our three tests on this end-of-year tour. You look at what Wales have got: Gareth Thomas, Dewey Lake and Archie Griffin. Now, we saw last week against Australia that Wales actually had a pretty decent scrum. That was almost the only positive for them in their walloping that they received from the Wallabies. And then we look at South Africa: John Clane and Franco Mostert in the second row. They've got Will Rowlands and Chris Chiunza. Now, Rowlands, for my money, is actually a world-class player. For me, Wales have got two world-class players. Rowlands is one of them. And I actually think that we might have a little bit of a challenge there. We think not necessarily only of the scrums. I think that the scrums, there could be an element of parity given our, not our inexperience, but our untested combinations. This is a tight five South Africa are playing that have never played together as a unit. Clane and Mostert making up four and five, whereas they've got Rowlands and Chiunza. I just wonder if there isn't going to be, especially in the first half, before the bomb squad comes on, we might see first half scrum parity. I'm trying to look at this from a Welsh perspective and see where they might be able to get an edge. James Botham, Jack Morgan and Tane Plumtree, I don't think are necessarily going to have an edge over Siya Kolisi, Aldrich Lowe and Jasper Visser. Again, South Africa, not an inexperienced side, but untested combinations is what Doc has gone with here. And again, Wales open side flank Jack Morgan, for me, he's their best player far and away, and together with Rowlands would be the only two world-class players that I think they have. Overall, I think South Africa has the edge in the scrums, although I do think the scrums will be competitive, especially in the first half. The lineouts, it could go either way, because again, we have combinations that are untested on the part of the Springboks, and we've seen our lineout hasn't been all that we would like it to be in 2024. So that might be an area where Gatland targets as a weakness on the part of the Springboks, if you can even call it a weakness. Let's compare the back lines now. We've got the Hendrikse brothers at halfback. What a proud moment for the Hendrikse family. Jaden, let's be honest, he didn't have his greatest test match for the Springboks against Scotland. I think he's going to be determined to prove that what happened at Murrayfield was just a one-off. And what better incentive to have a great test match than alongside his brother Jordan? It's very exciting, but at the same time, we're talking about inexperience and untested combinations. And an untested halfback combination, while not something that I think is going to be too much of a problem against Wales, it is something that could help the Welsh in terms of being more competitive. On their part, Ellis Bevan and Sam Costello, I mean, I don't think that Bevan and Costello are better than the Hendrikse brothers. I really don't. But again, untested combinations at international level, there could be some additional pressure. There could be an element of parity, even though I don't think it'll go that way. And then the rest of the Bok backline is pretty much a World Cup winning backline, isn't it? Arendse, Colby, Diolende, Creel, and then Fassi. If we look at what Wales have got in comparison, Rio Dyer, I mean, he's not a bad player. Tom Rogers, I thought he did okay against Australia, to be honest. Maybe one of the only Welshmen who did do okay against them. Blair Murray at fullback, and then you've got Thomas and Llewellyn in the centres. There's no ways that lives with South Africa. So what it will come down to, in my opinion, is the quality of the ball that is being supplied by the forwards. If the Springboks get front foot ball, then Wales are in massive trouble here. There's no ways that their backline lives with our backline. At the same time, I do think that the Welsh scrum will be able to live with the Springbok scrum. Again, especially in the first half, second half, once that bomb squad comes on, I think it's good night, nurse. The lineouts, again, it could be something that goes either way. And then someone like Morgan is going to be massively important. He's going to be critical to Wales' chances at the breakdown. And guys, the way I'm talking here, it's not to imply that Wales have got a chance of beating South Africa. I don't think they stand any chance of beating us on Saturday. What the angle that I'm coming from here is Wales keeping the scoreline respectable. If Wales lose this match 28-10, quite frankly, that would have been an afternoon well done for the Welsh. I know it sounds horrible and it sounds very disrespectful, but this is possibly the worst Welsh team that we've ever seen. They've lost 11 tests in a row. They haven't won a match since September 2023. Not this September, last year, September. That's the last time they won a match. They are on an awful run. There's no ways that they are beating the box. It's just not happening. So it's a case of what is the scoreline going to be? And I'm trying to find a way here that helps Wales keep the scoreline respectable. And like I say, we could have parity in the scrums. Lineouts could go either way. Morgan is going to be crucial to what they do at the breakdown. And if they can do that, that means the box don't get quality ball from Hendrikse to Hendrikse and the rest of the back line. And that can be very disruptive. And that means that the scoreline could be kept down to a minimum of damage, so to speak. Let's have a look at what's going on in terms of the replacements. And again, if Wales are able to do everything that I've just said, well, then you've got Malcolm Marx, Gerard Steenkamp, and Vincent Koch coming on. Yeah, like I said, that's pretty much good night, nurse. Throw in Eben Etzebeth and Argie Snyman. And then Cameron Hanekom, a lot of people are very excited to see how he goes in his debut test match. I suspect he's going to come on for Ulrich Lowe, but you don't know. He could come on for Siya. He could come on for Jasper. If he comes on for Siya, then I suppose Etzebeth would take over as the captain. If you look at the forwards on the part of the Welsh, it's not anywhere near as intimidating. Ryan Elias, Nicky Smith, Kieran Asorati, Freddie Thomas, and Tommy Reffle. They've gone 5-3. So you got Rhodri Williams, Eddie James, and Josh Hathaway. And again, with all due respect, Kobus Reinach and Andre Pollard. So again, if the Hendrikse brothers are not having a great test match, Kobus and Pollard come on and sort everything out. So there's just absolutely no way that I can see Wales living with us on Saturday. Again, like I say, their best hope is keeping us to under 30 points and then them, quite frankly, trying to get somewhere between 10 and 15. I cannot see it going any better than that for Wales. And it's very sad to be speaking like that about what is, let's be honest, a very proud rugby nation. They have supplied the world with some of the most wonderful rugby players. We go back to guys like Gareth Edwards, okay? But then I talk about myself, and as a boy growing up in the 90s, even when Wales weren't necessarily very strong. But they had guys, I think of Iain Evans. What a great winger he was. Neil Jenkins, I thought, was a magnificent player. More recently, Alan Wynne-Jones, Sam Warburton. These are warriors of the sport, not just of Welsh rugby, of global rugby. And to see them where they are right now, it's not very nice at all. Nevertheless, let's have a look at the history of the two teams. So, South Africa and Wales have been playing each other since 1906. That's quite a long time. And 42 occasions this rivalry has taken place. The Springboks dominating with 34 wins. Wales have seven, and there's been one draw. Of those seven Welsh wins, every one of them has come since 1999. So, it took 93 years for the Welsh to actually beat the Boks for the first time. But that in itself is a bit of a skewed stat because they had only played each other, I think it was 10 or 12 or something like that times between 1906 and 1999. So not exactly the largest sample size. Nevertheless, here's the last five meetings between the two teams. 41-13, that was the Qatar Airways Cup match earlier this year at Twickenham. Last year, before the Rugby World Cup at the Millennium Stadium, 52-16. My honest take is I think somewhere between that 41-13 and 52-16 is what we're going to see on Saturday. Then there was a 30-14 win against Wales. That was in South Africa. We played them in a three-match series. They won the middle test in Bloemfontein when Jacques Nienaber made several changes. It was a narrow defeat, wasn't it? 13-12. And then the week before that, we won the first test against them when Damian Willemse kicked a late penalty to win it for us, 32-29. Let's have a look and see what the coaches have had to say leading up into this. We'll start with Doc. This is our last match of the season, and we are determined to finish the year on a positive note. We selected a squad that shows a good mix of experience and youth, which is crucial as we look to maintain some consistency in selection, while at the same time giving guys like Jordan and Cameron, who have been exceptional at training on tour, a chance to show us what they can do. Here's what Warren Gatland had to say. Last week's result hurt. He's talking about that Wallabies annihilation. And we are just as disappointed by it as the fans. This week, we need to show real courage and front up against the world champions. And there's really not much talking left to be done other than to give you my prediction for this test match. Now, look, I think it could go one of two ways. The one is, as I've described, where Wales actually pitch up, they give it everything they can. Remember, they've made five changes and they're playing for pride, they're playing for respect, they're playing for dignity, and they do everything they can and it actually works, and they keep us to under 30 and they themselves get somewhere between 10 and 15. And that would be a respectable afternoon for Wales. It could also go the other way. I'm thinking 2007 Super 14, when the Bulls took on the Reds in the final round robin match and they put 90 points past them. It would be tragic if that happened to Wales on this occasion. South Africa have already put 90 points past Wales. Our record win over them was 96-13 in 1998. At Loftus, Percy Montgomery at that stage became South Africa's leading point scorer in a single match. Now, I don't think that it's going to be a 90-point blowout. I don't think it's actually going to be that first option where Wales actually keep us to under 30 and they themselves get between 10 and 15. I think that this Welsh side will come out fired up and determined, and I think that somewhere, somehow, they will score a try. I also think that what we saw last year at the Millennium Stadium and this year in the Qatar Airways Cup match, that is more or less what is going to happen. And I'm going to err on the lower side of that, given that we are fielding several combinations that are untested at international level, even though you could argue that maybe we're not going to get too much of a test from the Welsh. But I want to give them a little bit of credit, even though a lot of people would say they might not deserve it. So in the end, Wales will lose their 12th test match in a row, and the Springboks are winning this one 43-13. Okay, so what do you think? Let me know in the comment section down below, what is your score prediction? Do you think I'm being a little bit too conservative here? Do you think Wales stand no chance at all and we'll probably end up getting somewhere closer to 90? For their sake, I hope not. And with that being said, I thank you very much and I will speak to you in the next episode.